Hello and welcome to the Record Swappers. My name is Gabriel, or Excessive Prophet, and I'm joined by my co-host.
I'm Viking, and
you're the unlucky bandit.
Yeah, I'm the unlucky bandit.
If you remember the last episode, everybody.
For some reason, I always want to say ugly bandit.
I mean, you do you, bro, yeah. But not that much.
I guess that speaks to me more.
Yeah. So those nicknames are from our last episode. If you haven't listened to it, you'll have to go back. But otherwise, like you said, I'm Gabriel, he's Viking, and this is the Record Swappers, a podcast where we swap records, find some facts, and share our thoughts about it with you, dear audience.
Yes.
And today we're going to talk about a certain Hoyt Axton later on. Yeah. But first, we're going to see how you've been doing, Viking.
Yeah, I've been good. My body hurts.
Your body hurts?
Yeah.
From all that ring fitting.
Yeah.
you're adventuring.
Yeah. I've been doing the Ring Fit Adventure, which is Nintendo's new exercising / game
thing. Yeah.
Game thing. And it's fun. It's quite addicting.
Yeah.
Actually.
I'll have to try it. I don't have it. But I think my brother got it too, actually. Yeah. And I got my own Switch now.
You could also do it.
And all
you
I play
could
is like
also be Ring
I play like two games, even though I should play Breath of the Wild. But it's because I don't know anything about those games. I kind of go in blind, so it's weird. But it's also fun. Also watched it on Let's Play, so it's very weird playing it. Like it's like I'm playing it again almost, but without another person. So yeah, I have not a lot to say. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't have anything.
Good, I guess.
I did have one thing. I just can't remember what it was. We were talking about the TV show, but I forgot which one it was.
We can talk about Picard if you want to.
Yeah. Picard is going to come out, /is out/ something. I haven't found it anywhere.
It's out.
Okay, I have to check it out.
It's out at CBS, I think, and it's out on Amazon Prime.
Okay, Amazon Prime we can get in this country. CBS is harder.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll have to check it out. I mean, the only one I can remember now is the Hugh Laurie one that I talked to you about, Avenue 5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm going to check out. It's gotten some good. And Harley Quinn, I've been watching more of the animated TV show. It's so fun. It really gets you laughing. So, yeah, I can't think of anything else.
No, let's just get into
it. No, we have one thing to shout out. The Vinyl Challenge, we should shout that out.
Yeah.
I mean, it started today.
Yeah, it started today. We're recording this at February the 1st. And
2020.
And
Harma, is it 808?
Yeah.
Yeah, Harma 808 on Instagram, or Harma as a vinyl challenge on Instagram that you take pictures.
Yeah.
And this is the third year?
Yeah, it's the third year. And like it's one theme a day.
Yeah.
Today's the theme, I need a drink.
Yeah, and we're drinking water. So
What did you have for that?
Tripler's Tales, I think they're called. Fairport Convention is the band.
Yes.
Tripler's Tales. It's a picture with a lot of drinks, and it's got Free Drunken Maiden song on it. So, and you had?
Yeah, the Swedish artist known as Kjell Höglund, which he has made a single that's called En Stor Stark, which roughly translates to one large beer.
Yeah, I would say in a nice word, a brisk one, please.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or give me a stout.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one. That's all the stuff, I guess. Let's get into it. I want to talk about this.
Yes.
Man, so you dropped an album on me last time that I had no idea was an artist.
Yeah.
I just thought he was an actor.
Yeah, I blew your mind.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, so it's...
But then when you listen to it, it's not that surprising in a sense.
No, but like, yeah.
It's...
Yeah, I could really see it like when you start getting into it and like see interviews with him talking about music. And
yeah.
Stuff.
There's not a lot to find, which is sad, but there's a lot of... He has done, like, a lot of Hootenanny was the TV show ended and stuff like that. You can see him, but he doesn't do a lot of interviews, but when he does, he's really chill.
Yeah, he's very charismatic.
Yeah. And we're talking about Hoyt Axton, like we said on the last episode, on the ending part, and it's the album Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah.
Not Thunder and Lightning. Thunder and you plebs. How did you? I wanted, before we get into it, I want to know how you found the album.
Well, I told you last time.
Yeah, but that was like 50 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Retelling. Recap. We can just cut in.
Rerun.
We can just cut in the part from the last episode here. And
I'm doing the editing, so fuck no.
I was listening to the podcast we have mentioned several times on this podcast, yeah. The We Ate Movies.
Yeah.
And they did an episode on the Gremlins. Which Hoyt Axton plays the father of the main character. And.
Oh, yeah. Gizmo! Mugwai!
And they mentioned he was a country artist in his roots. And I was like, I need to check that out. And then I started listening to him and I'm like, I need to put this on the show.
Yeah.
Like, because also I know like Gremlins is one of your favorite movies.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. One of my favorite Christmas movies. And we talked about that freaking Christmas song still scares me. The one where everything goes to shit and the mom is being attacked.
Yeah.
Do you see what I see? Fucking scares me still.
Yeah.
Love that. I mean, it's such a good, and I always forget, even though it has the elements, but it's a Steven Spielberg movie, but somehow doesn't feel like a Steven Spielberg movie.
Well, it's a Joe Dante movie.
But it's Steven Spielberg produced.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Well, okay. But it's all his handiwork on it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Hoyt Axton's Thunder Lightning. My first impressions were, we already got into that a little, that I didn't even know he was an artist.
Yeah.
So I was just blown away. And then I listened to the first song. I'm like, it really like gets you, really catches you. We're going to talk about that when we get into the songs. Mm. But he really like caught me off guard. And I'm also surprised that you took this, because when I looked at his discography, he had so many records.
Yeah.
So it was a little like, why did you choose this one?
I mean,
just Thunder and Lightning.
I mean, one of the reasons were this little light of me.
This little light of mine.
Because we referenced this. You have personally referenced that song before.
Yeah,
calling it your favorite gospel song, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's that or Then Jesus Washed.
Yeah.
This little light of mine is easier to sing.
Yeah. It's more of it's a children gospel song.
How dare you call me a child?
Yeah, you're a petulant child.
Yeah.
And then it also has like a cover of the House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah.
So, and also Cocaine. You got lots of Cocaine.
Yeah, there's a lot of references. This is more like a collection of songs. It's like a songbook more than an album, I feel like, because it's so early in his career.
It's like in the 60s, like everything was like taken, either written yourself or like taken from somebody else and like just mashed together.
Especially with this genre, there's a lot of folk songs or like, and
there's not
traditional songs.
Yeah, and there's not like much of a concept like. No. For the whole record.
The concept about this album, that there is no concept.
No.
So it's still a concept.
Oh my God. Mind blown.
Mind blown. So yeah.
But let's get into Hoyt Axton.
Let's get into Hoyt Axton.
Yeah. He was born in 1938 in Duncan, Oklahoma, USA.
Mm-hmm.
And later moved to Florida.
Do you know something I always thought about? This is a weird like fun fact from my brain.
Mm.
You know the movie with Dorothy and everything, the Wizard of Oz. They always say they're in Kansas, but I always thought they were filming in Oklahoma.
Okay.
I don't know why. I always thought, even though she says Kansas, it looks like Oklahoma to me. It's so
okay.
That's so
thank you for wasting our listeners' last 30 seconds.
You know.
Yeah.
You're welcome. That's how my brain worked as a child.
Okay.
Just so you know, this is very early in the morning for us, so we're not at all tired.
No.
Like always.
His mother was an English teacher and also a songwriter, and together with Thomas Durden, she wrote Elvis Presley's first major hit, Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah.
And after Hoyt saw his mother like writing the song together with Thomas and having a lot of fun, and then getting a big paycheck in the in the mailbox, he got inspired to start writing on his own, and he wrote his first song when he was 15.
That's kind of young. Well, it depends on how you look at things also, but kind
of
young.
Yeah, like I've been following a lot of 9 years old playing a lot of drums lately. Yeah. So I mean, like, it's not that impressive.
Yeah, but nowadays there's also a lot. It's a lot different. Then you have to like work the fields or something.
Well, I'm not gonna get into that. anyways,
I don't know how time works.
I was gonna say you don't know how race works.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, he's from Oklahoma. They have a lot of fields there.
Yeah,
and I think because his family is country western style to the music, I'm just like, it feels like they're working the fields, just being farmers. You're giving such a weird.
Yes. Look. Anyways. Let's move on. Yeah. So. He has kind of like made a name for himself as singing and making music, but he also, I think, he's made a bigger name as a songwriter.
I agree. I wrote that down too.
Yeah, he's written the song "The Pusher" for Steppenwolf, which is like probably their most famous song.
Yeah, I think this is the one you kind of, I mean, even if you don't know that it was Hoyt Axton, I think this is the one that like a lot of people have heard.
Oh yeah.
The other one I really didn't remember. Okay. The Three Dog Night one.
Yeah.
Joy to the World. I really didn't see that one coming. No. Honestly, I didn't like. Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog and all that.
Yeah.
That song. People don't remember it because they're like, what's Joy to the World? And then you're like, oh, this song, Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog.
Yeah, also there's another famous like Christmas song, right?
That's Joy to the World.
Yeah, that's so it's very confusing.
Yeah. But which one else was there? Was Steppenwolf?
No, but I was going to say about the Pusher. It was featured in a classic 1969 movie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know which movie?
What was it? It was the one with Sean Penn and Robert De Niro, right?
No.
Wasn't that one movie? Also that movie.
Yeah. It was Easy Rider.
Easy Rider. And then he got like so much money for that. He's like, yeah, good.
And also Joy to World appears in the X-Files episode. Did you know that? Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. I saw that. Then he wrote the No-No song, which is like an anti-drug and alcohol song that Ringo Starr,
famously done by Ringo Starr,
also Hoyt Axton later made his own version of that song, featuring Cheech and Chong, which was very funny to me.
So weird. I mean, it's an ironic / sarcastic. It's like it's a joke in a sense, especially with Hoyt having done the drugs too.
Do you have something?
Yeah, give me the. I can take the stafettpinn. What's it called in English? I don't know. The bong. I was gonna say. I was just gonna say. I thought he was more known as an actor, but when you Google, he seems to, at least in America, be more well-known as an artist. I mean, performing and different TV shows like Hootenanny and stuff like that, and being on guest episodes of, like, what was it, Dukes of Hazzard as himself.
Bonanza.
Yeah, and Bonanza.
I love Bonanza.
And he also, like, was in, and also he acted in a lot of these shows, like, Different Strokes, he acted in, but he also did like the theme song, or like he did something for that song, and he was in Murder, She Wrote with Angela Lansbury on television. I also wrote down some of the films because some of these I recognized, like we talked about Gremlins, but he also was the father in Black Stallion, and he also wrote his own lines for Black Stallion. <That's funny. laughs> Which is kind of funny. We're No Angels, which was the Sean Penn Robert De Niro movie I was thinking about. Kingfish, A Story of U.P. Long, which is really classic John Goodman song. Movie. Really like a little cult movie in a sense. Kingfish, I think.
Yeah.
And then King Cobra was the last movie he was in. Also, I forgot to mention the TV show Bionic Woman, the spin-off of $6 Million Man, or whatever, $6 Billion Man. So that's kind of funny. I got some quotes, actually. There's a lot of stuff on his own website that I think his name was Mark Wienerman made, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And that website is really like made, was it 95 or 97? 95? No, earlier maybe.
I think 97 he got the permission to write the biography.
No, that's when he was, no, 95 was it? Because he passed away in 97.
No, he passed away in 99. But
that's true.
Yeah, the stroke was 97.
That's what I was thinking about. Yeah, so it was around that time, yeah. But there's a really old, cool website for, so everybody who hasn't seen early internet stuff, movies or anything, go to that website. You just write Hoyt Axton and you go to his website, you'll see it's really old.
Yeah.
But it's got some cool stuff, and there was a page where you could submit in stories about Hoyt if you met him and anything. And I have one about him talking about acting. So he talked to somebody and he said, he was going into acting, they said. He said he had tried it and it was a piece of cake. He said, I guess I'm just a natural. Just thought that was funny. This one is a little longer, but I thought it was so sweet, and I just wanted to take it up. So I'll shorten it as much as possible. But it's a person saying that we're in Boise, Idaho, which we talked about Boise before. Just to say Boise.
Yeah, Boise is a nice thing.
Boise in the Boise
Poughkeepsie and the Boise. I think it's two places that I could less live in for the name.
Can we do a spin-off movie Boise in the Hood? So basically, this person said, it was in Boise, Idaho. Hoyt had called me and asked if I knew the promoter for the show. I went over to the concert site early to do to check on sound checks. Hoyt was in a side room having a very intense conversation with a profoundly disabled young man that I had seen around the Boise State campus. People had often ignored this young man as he was difficult to understand. Hoyt was sitting with him conversing like they were old friends. The kid was glowing. There were no cameras, no one around to pose for. Hoyt was just being who he was, a kind human being. This is kind of interesting to note, like before all the cell phone stuff, like a lot of artists, like, if they did something, people wouldn't have maybe known. But if they did know, it really like stood out more, I think, than nowadays when you pose for the camera. And it was a really sweet story, I thought. That, and he seemed, even though he seemed like a troubled man, he still was a very heartwarm, open man, like to a lot of people. And he seemed to give a lot of people joy, even though he maybe had problems with joy himself than using drugs and stuff.
Speaking of trouble, I also have a story.
Yeah?
From 1956, when Hoyt was 18 years old, around there. And I think it was when he ended his high school.
Yeah,
I was going to go off to college. He threw a lighted flambé.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Flambé, or like it's a cannibal looking kind of like you use at this like to light road work.
Yeah, I've seen those. It's
kind of a flare thingy.
Yeah, you've seen like old movies, you've seen them.
Yeah, and he threw that through a window of a hardware store. In the town he lived, and it burned down. And like 20 years later, the insurance company that covered the fire was trying to collect the 23,000 judgment that made against Mr. Axton.
Because he was so rich then, right?
Yeah. I mean, he also burnt it down. He was the only person caught.
He lived on the wild side.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like in retrospect, a quite funny and cool story.
Yeah. It was hard to find stuff about him and interviews with him, which is a little, it is very fun that you can find all these Bonanza, Hootenanny, him by himself, or with Arlo Guthrie and Linda Ronstadt. Yeah. He played a lot of music with.
And the old commercials.
Yeah, and all those Busch beer commercials, and It was very hard to find the McDonald's one, but I did find the find the Busch Beer commercials.
Yeah.
His voice really does stand out as a commercial voice. Yeah, it really works.
Yeah,
he has that old man. He could be like the Marlboro Man voiceover almost. Yeah. He could have worked for that.
Yeah, it's kind of sultry without being too sexy. Yeah. It's like,
but it's very like Midwestern, like sitting on the porch with your rocking chair and just, you know, looking at the sunset. Yeah. It's very like, I'm an older man and I drive a Chevy Chase, you know.
I would say he's kind of, that voice he uses in commercial is kind of like,
it's like the Gremlins voice when he's a dad, you know, for the but important scenes, like,
I would say it's kind of like metaphorically like sitting in front of a fire.
Sit down, children. Yeah, let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
There was once time a gremlin.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
song time.
Now we kind of mention it, but I mean we can like.
Yeah.
Go for it. Oh, actually, this. So.
More story time.
This is the first artist we covered that has actually passed away.
He did.
So,
rest in peace.
In 1995, he had a stroke that led him being bound to a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And at the age 61, he passed away October 26, 1999.
Yeah.
And also suffering two heart attacks in 2 weeks.
I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
Or no. Seven.
I was 11.
Yeah.
Now we dated each other.
Are we dating each other?
such
a bad joke. I mean, carbon dating, everybody. I meant carbon dating.
But yeah.
Yeah, but I never thought about that. That every other artist we've done is alive. I mean, it's like we have a preference. It's just that's what happened. It's kind of interesting to think about. But also, what's the legacy of people living is harder sometimes to see, because we talked about the legacy and the impact of music, and now we have one that's passed. I think Hoyt's impact in music in this corner of the world is very hard to see, but in USA, in the country scene, I think he's still quite a name.
Yeah, and like the songs he have written.
Yeah, and kind of, and they have lasting effect. We just noticed earlier on IMDb that some song was used very recently. Yeah. And also in a weird movie, I think it was. It wasn't like, oh, like, let's say now The Pusher was in The Joker. It was like in American Pie ripoff B movie or something. It's really funny. But his work still lives on. And I think more young people will notice. And we're going to get into country more and more as this podcast progresses. And we'll see maybe his impact more when we get to talk about stuff like this.
I mean,
and maybe other artists talking about him.
I mean, like, even Waylon Jennings made a cover of one of his songs.
Oh, nice. Talking about covers, is it song time? It's a song time?
Yeah, it's song time.
So we're going to get to the first song, which is the, fourth Thor movie, right? You know, Thor, Avengers guy. Thunder and Lightning. No.
Okay.
Such a bad setup.
Yeah, that was a bad joke. I know. I was going to more
the new Thor movie is called actually Thunder and Love, so it's not that far off in a sense.
True, true.
It's the same things.
No, but
this song really grabs you when you haven't heard it before, I must say.
Yeah, it's a very nice, like, very archetypical blues song.
I wouldn't say it's a blues song, actually. I would say, it's a mix, of course, but I would more say it's got a country, western feel.
You got this,
but there's a blues.
Yeah, but it's got like this classic, like blues archetypic. Right. I was born under a bad sign, kind of.
So wait, too. There's slop and soul. There's slop and what? So wait, the slop is what? That's what just you mixing it. So this is slop and. Country? No. Slop and blues. You have to like mix country and blues somehow. Blues and country. I'll work it out. I'll get back to you.
Bloom tree.
We really have to workshop names for this genre. But I do agree. It's really, I like that it's really, I was going to say jazzy, but you know what I mean? It swings a lot like in the song. It goes from that blues western feel. and really like goes very like up and down.
It has some great like twanging guitar.
Yeah, and his singing too, from like that soft whispering to that really howling blues.
I actually wrote down, it's kind of like it's his voice is both smooth and gruff at the same time.
I wanted to say first growling because it's like but it's more like a howl because it's so impactful and round.
And his charisma really pours through in this. Like,
and a lot of these songs, we've talked about like the echo thing. I mean, some people are in an echo chamber, but sometimes it's just how the voice works and the microphone and maybe effects on. But a lot of times when he goes, especially on the high notes or upper notes, and like really howls or like just takes a big note, and it like gives you like he's in a church, you know, that ambient echo sound. It's so nice. Yeah, it's so nice. So however they did that, that's really nice. Like if it's in mastering and stuff or just in the room, it's really nice. It gives such a good effect to his voice and his charisma. I really like it. So yeah.
I should mention this is also a song written personally by Hoyt Axel.
Yeah, because that was one thing I was gonna bring up, is it's hard to find out which ones were written by him.
It was hard.
I know.
You know how I did it?
Yeah. No.
No.
Who sampled?
No. I looked at the vinyl label.
Yeah.
I went straight to the source.
How did you find? Oh, on the internet?
Yeah, on this. I went into Discogs and looked at the label of the vinyl.
We'll have to use Discogs more than for information gathering. I always look at it, but there's not a lot there that's not.
But usually you can find that information elsewhere. But
this was so old. Yeah. And not maybe.
So
I have a question about, like, was there anything certain with the lyrics, or because there was a couple of lyrics. That, or was it was this more like just a like get you ready pump up song, you know?
Do you feel song?
Like, yeah.
I mean,
did you write down any lyrics? I didn't think about that much.
No, I mean it's very archetypical, like this, like I'm born on a bad side, I'm a bad man.
Yeah, it feels very also movie, like a movie song.
Yeah.
Like an 80s action scene when the guy is picking himself up to fight again. Yeah. You're like, it's thunder and lightning.
Like there's not that much to lyrics.
No, I just wanted to check. So next song.
Yeah, let's go to Blue Prelude.
Yeah, Prelude.
This is actually written and composed by Joe Bishop and the Gordon Jenkins. So this starts off like really like. The notes he's taking with his voice is like really good, incredible.
This is more like a slower song, so you can
it's very sparse.
Yeah, because Thunder Lightning is so fast, so even though you get to hear it, this is more like a chill song. So he really drags them out a little more.
I heard this song before, made by sung by Nina Simone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this version is actually better.
I haven't heard it, so I can't. But I like this version too. I also still like this echo or ambience effect. It's stuff they're doing. It's really nice. I like that. Especially like not all on a certain song they have like fade out for real. But also when you get to the end of a note and it still like goes with the echo, and it's a nice fade out thing. There was a lyric I liked in this. For what is love but a prelude to sorrow? I like that. It's really nice. And
very
bluesy.
Yeah, but also like very like. I forget the name.
Swedish. You can say in Swedish. Yeah. I'll translate.
Vet du? Now I forgot the Swedish word also. I'm forgetting all languages today.
It's too early.
Let's see. I can find it in Japanese. Let's just move on.
Yeah, but I like the song. But it's very like just we went from a party song first to like a little like let's take it slow.
Yeah.
Now we got Woman at the Well. This is the song with the weird story. because I forgot that there was a story behind it. So I'm like, what is the story behind
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you were like writing down the lyrics and trying to decipher it. And I just made one Google.
But the thing is, I did Google without Hoyt Axton's name. But something probably happened because I didn't get the same search rate. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, and like...
And sometimes when you're stuck in a rabbit hole, it's hard to like see the other stuff.
So I found out...
But the woman at the well?
Yeah.
You found the woman at the well?
Yeah, I found the woman.
Timmy, you know...
Yeah, you know I'm Jesus. Yeah. Don't you know?
Lassie, come. The woman has fallen down the well.
No, So what? This story is based... Like this song is based on a story from the Gospel of John in the Bible. Where Jesus meets a woman at the well, who some believe is
Sorry, spoilers for the Bible, everybody.
Who some believe is Saint Photine? Photine? Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. And Jesus kind of converts her to his religion.
Yeah, I just want to say that. I've read the Bible twice. I've seen so many Bible movies. And then there was a video clip where I'm like, oh yeah, this. I forgot about this. Yeah. But I wrote down the lyrics. So we're going to... So this is from this... I'm going to go who says the lyric. Mm. And we're going to do it. So this is... So everybody understands who, for some reason, don't listen to the songs. Or doesn't, hear the words if you just listen to once. Mm. So there's a man, probably Jesus, saying, "Woman, where is your husband?" And somebody saying, "Lord," so that's maybe the singer, I think. Yeah. And then the woman says, "I have none." The man says, "Woman, you have five husband. You have had five husband," also without an S, which is really. Yeah. But the one you got now ain't your own. That boy ain't your own. Yeah. And the woman says, "This man must be a prophet. He has told me everything I have done." And the singer says, "Jesus met the woman at the well and told her everything she has ever done." But I started like, whose perspective is it from? A lot of the times it's so weird. Mm-hmm. And also, I was thinking if this was not a Bible thing, like when it's like, "This man must be a prophet," it feels a little like sarcastic, like, "Oh, you know everything, don't you?"
But that's kind of in the story also, because it's like...
Yeah, I know.
Because he asks for water.
Yeah.
And she's like... "What, a Jew asking me for water?"
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not any Jew. I'm Jesus.
I'm Jesus. Yeah. Also, spoilers for the Bible. Jesus dies, everybody. I'm sorry if you didn't get to the end. Yeah.
Also, spoilers. The woman also dies. Funnily enough, she gets their body thrown into a well.
Funny enough. Oh my god. Spoilers. we're too tired for this. This song. When you didn't know about the woman at the well, you're really like, what the fuck is this story? But you want to go... do you want me to tell you a story, Viking?
Tell me a story.
Let me tell you a story about the grizzly bear. Grizzly bear.
This is also a traditional song, which is kind of fun.
Traditional.
It's a quick turn from kind of a serious gospel song to a kind of jokey song about a man hunting a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
This song is kind of fun the first time you hear it, and then it kind of gets old quickly.
Man, but it's like, it's a one-hit wonder. It's a 15 minutes of fame. It's just like, you hear it once or twice and it's enough.
But that roar at the end, man. Yeah. That roar at the end.
The roar.
Roar.
Roar. I like when they sing, the backup singers sing on the bear, you know, like grizzly bear and like bear, holding the note very easily. I like that. And this song is also like a party song. You know, when you want a song in the background to pump up the party, but you don't care about the lyrics. This is kind of that song. You're like, or like, oh no, not that song again. But yeah, actually, I'm a grizzly bear. Let's fuck it up.
Yeah. Or if you want to do something to a fast beat, I guess it works.
Yeah. That's kind of how I saw it, too. So let's go to another Jesus song, I Never Knew My Father.
Okay.
No, I'm just joking. But the song is I Never Knew My Father.
Okay. I thought you had unveiled some information I didn't know. So this song is credited on for someone called Kay Bunham. And I don't know
who that person.
No, I searched and like I got nothing. Nothing for it. So but it's it has a nice bluesy strumming, which carries accent while it tells a story about the father he never knew.
Yeah, I also with the strumming of the guitar, like when it got stronger, and the emotion of his singing is really nice.
Like talk about like how we're gonna find his father's body and bury it. And
but at the time, his father was alive, so.
Yeah, and he knew his father, so yeah, I mean, so
it's all a lie.
But he didn't also write the song.
I know. I'm just joking. But so that's also a thing that we've talked about sometimes, like the thing of like the song is its own story, but then the artist itself does not have that story themselves. So it's interesting to evaluate how that works, like for the feeling you get as a listener. Are you gonna just? It's like when you watch a movie. You know, we talk about like just displace your logic, just watch it for you know, for entertainment if it's a popcorn movie. Like when I go see Fast and the Furious, I don't think about like all the lighting, and you're like, it's just popcorn. And this you should think about songs sometimes like that too. I love the fade out on this song at the end. I was gonna say almost at the beginning of a mistake. I love the fade out at the beginning. No, at the at the end. I didn't
even think about the fade out.
Yeah, it's at the end. Like I like it. You want to go grab some food at the midnight special?
No. Do you want to get the midnight special? This is also a traditional song.
Yeah, number 6. Midnight special. What does it mean? Do you know what it means? I didn't.
Isn't it 6? I just like it.
I
haven't googled it. I just assumed.
I literally just thought it was food, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because this song, for some reason, always reminds me of the Leonard Cohen song, Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah.
Just
so you know, it's a movie from 2016 with, of course, Adam Driver in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know, like Adam Driver isn't just anything.
Yeah, he's down to fucking.
Yeah. That's not the movie. It's about something else. I mean, when you...
Oh, God.
You're the worst person ever, I feel like.
Yeah.
Lawrence Creedwater, Clarence Creedwater Revival has also done this. It's a traditional folk song.
Yeah, I know.
I'm live Googling it now.
Okay.
But it's from, published 1923. It says Midnight Special. So probably just that. Let's see. I do like the guitar strumming again. This has a really nice country.
Yeah,
it has like a casino feeling, like he's a lounge singer in the casino. Yeah. Almost like the Waylon Jennings clip, a little.
Waylon Jennings lie.
Yeah, no, but the.
I mean, also, I mean, the line, I'm looking at a man that has seen more cocaine than me, also fits.
Kind of fits also here, yeah.
Fits for Hoyt Axton, so I mean.
Wait, has Hoyt Axton seen more cocaine than Waylon, or the other way around?
But probably the character in the song, but.
Yeah, it probably fits to Hoyt Axton too, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mountain
Goats coming back strong.
Yes.
In this podcast. Anything else about?
Yeah, but I was gonna say this is I think the song that has the most country feel on this album.
Yeah, I
would
think
you, would you agree?
I mean, so far as I can think of, this has the most. A lot of them. I mean, number 10 also, which has a little country feeling, but it has a like. Because that's not as bluesy. It's more like a slow song. That's also country. But I would say this is probably the most country, like upbeat country. I would agree.
More stadium country.
Yeah. More stadium country, as the Bo Burnham joke was. You can sing about anything and it'll be fine. We'll get to one of my favorite songs now.
Yeah.
This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. It's a gospel song from 1920s by Harry Dixon Lowes.
Yeah.
It's a good song. It's a classic song.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to like gospel songs when I was younger. So
yes, did you think about this? Because I thought this was very hilarious. It really sounds like the backup singers on this song.
Mm-hmm.
They sound really bored for some reason.
I didn't really think about that, but
or I don't know if it's like the comparison to Hoyt Axon, because he's very upbeat.
Yeah.
But it's like he's like singing this light of mine.
Yeah, like this little light of mine. Maybe that was their job, like just to like build him up.
Yeah. Like they look bad, so he looks even better.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe they were just so like. He maybe just asked everybody he knew, like, does anybody want to sing? Like, sure. Oh, okay. I'm going to get paid. Okay. No, I didn't think about that, to be honest. It's so hard to talk about this album, this song, because it's so hard to find stuff when it's covers. I mean, so what can you say about the classic song like this? Can you say something?
Yeah, I mean, it has one of the best percussion instruments in it.
Yeah. More cowbell.
No, clapping.
Oh, okay. I was going to say cowbell.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I was making a deeper reference from when I Wikipedia the percussion instruments.
Yeah, yesterday. But that was kind of funny that you found that clapping was a instrument on... it only percussion. Western? Or was it all percussion?
Yeah. So Wikipedia has a list of all the percussion instruments in the world.
Hopefully.
And I was scrolling through it, looking at all the pictures, because we were like debating a percussion instrument on Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there were just two pair of hands there, and it stood clapping.
I
can agree it's a percussion instrument.
Yeah, but that's the thing. A lot of people think that a lot of stuff you can do, like snapping, clapping, and your voices.
Yeah.
That's the most like people think about. An interesting thing is when you talk about like beatboxing. A lot of people don't think that's instrument, but some people I've talked to.
Yeah, I mean beatboxing shows that the body is an instrument.
Yeah,
so.
I really don't. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Let's clap away.
Yeah.
Let's clap back to the song "Gypsy Woman." Number 8. Is the Gypsy Woman song
that's written by Axton
himself. I like the song. This really gives me Manish Boy vibes from Muddy Waters, which was then transcribed to George Thorogood and the Destroyers' Bad to the Bone, because they used Manish Boy's things to make Bad to the Bone, and it really gives me that like feeling of a song. It's really nice. It's very classical. I could see this in a movie very easily, like you can see Bad to the Bone in a movie a lot. So
it's a nice song.
It gives a little song,
if you can ignore the use of the adjective word for Romani people,
and kind of the stereotypical gypsy woman.
This song was later renamed to Hoochie Coochie Man,
but the term also gypsy isn't only for those people. It's like a little like saying hobo. Hobo is like traveling people.
No, but it is a derogatory term.
Yeah, I know, but some people also just use it like for traveling people and like who live the same and have to. So it's a little hard, but it's
I wouldn't call this like song racist or anything.
No.
But it's
of its time.
That's. If you can get over that, it's a fun song.
And I wouldn't say it's derogatory in the same in the lyrics, at least.
No.
So in that sense,
it's more stereotypical because it's like the mysterious gypsy woman telling the future.
Absolutely. And I really do agree about that. That's true.
But
I do like the song otherwise. If you just think about like for
it's
how
fun
it sounds,
and I love like. It's something about how it acts and singing the word hogs that really gets me going.
All you hogs know, Is this the... was this the Bo Diddley thing?
Yeah. So he references, he kind of pauses and talks a little about Bo Diddley and...
Bo Diddley!
And reference him and like talks about kind of
his
like
sound.
A little about his influence.
Yeah.
And
also the best sandwich ever made. Peanut butter.
Yeah,
the best spread you can have on any sandwich. Peanut butter. It sold 50,000 copies in the first week. What was it? How many girls were it? 40 maybe? or 14. Okay. Maybe 14.
Yeah, 40, I think, is some ridiculous.
Yeah, 40 screaming teenage girls singing peanut butter, and it sold 50,000 copies in the first week. And I tried to Google that so much, and the only thing I always found mostly was, I did find one weird thing. It was Hoyt actually in one excerpt, like being signed or something, and then another album being sold for 50,000 copies. I'm like, I found it. But otherwise, if you Google something, you just found the Arlo Guthrie Hoyt Axton thing from like Bonanza or something, where they sing Peanut Butter and Jelly, which is a funny song.
That's not from Bonanza, but.
Oh, maybe it was Hootenanny.
Yeah,
it's Hootenanny. I always mix them up.
Yeah.
It's hard because I mix them up.
But Bonanza is a cowboy show.
Yeah, but
it's like.
But it's basically the same.
No.
No, but Bonanza was also a singing show. Like they had singing and stuff, like Hootenanny.
Yeah, it gets singing, but that's in the world. It's, it's not. I get you. It's not like.
Uh-huh. I thought it was like. Yeah, I get you. Then it was Hootenanny.
It's a Wild Western show.
Oh, I get you. No, but what was it? The Bo Diddley song. We talked about that. I thought it was on the same single, right? It was Bo Diddley, and I'm Your Man.
Yeah.
Or I'm Your Man, not I'm a Man.
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah. And I mean, that sound was really. And I was listening to the Bo Diddley song.
Mm.
And when I was listening to him, like, I've heard the song before. And I know who Bo Diddley was when you listened to it. And then you're like, wait, I recognize this. I so recognize, and then like my brain just clicked, and it was I Want Candy. Yeah.
I Want Candy.
That's from Bo Diddley, and a lot of the musical show, the musical Hairspray has that sound too.
Yeah.
That Bo Diddley, and that's more like from the time because they're in the 1960s.
Yeah, I mean, he influenced a lot.
So much music more than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, and he really like laid down a lot of groundwork for rock and roll today. Yeah. As I get a lot. So if anybody has never heard Bo Diddley, you should really just like go to Spotify, do what I always do if you don't like know an artist, just listen to the most popular songs and have a blast.
Yeah.
We want to go to the next song.
Yeah. Waterboy.
Yeah, the best Adam Sandler movie ever made.
Yeah.
Waters, how does she do it? Foosball is the devil.
Yeah, oh my god.
She's amazing.
What's it called? Vicky's Karen.
Oh, I don't remember.
She was in Two of a Kind.
Yeah, she.
We go.
Yeah, she was in Two of a Kind. We go around. She was lifting a couch, remember?
Yeah.
She's like, Vicky is the devil. Alligator is the devil. I mean, that character is the best. And that, she's such a great actress.
Yeah.
But this is not from the movie Waterboy, it's like 30 years earlier. But this is about Waterboy is a thing in sports, of course, where you now give water. But in the olden days, it was when you used to give water to farmers, so stuff.
Workers on the cotton fields, specifically. Yeah.
Yeah, but also farmers in.
Yeah,
but yeah, also
it has its roots in the black culture, in the.
I mean, it's understandable. It's very warm, though. I mean, my dad, he used to pick cotton. It's really hot, man. 40, 50 degrees Celsius, and then you're standing all day just building. Oh, I'm glad that that doesn't happen anymore, man.
So her name? IMDb ticker is in, and
Bibby.
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates, yeah.
Kathy Bates.
Legendary woman in acting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Awesome. This song, if we go back to the song and not the movie, whatever, as those long notes, this is a little like Grizzly Bear. I like this song, but when you hear it a lot of times, it really gets a little old, like how long those long notes are. Like it starts to get a little annoying a couple times because we listen to the album so many times, and when you re-listen to a song so many times, but otherwise, I really, really like those long notes, and he really can. Sing, he really can hold notes, and really like he can hold them very tight, and then go out in a very good way. And he has really good voice, and he's a large gentleman, so he has a good diaphragm to like belt out stuff.
Yeah, and like it comes with a punch.
Yeah,
there
wasn't anything special about Waterboy except being an Adam Sandler movie.
No,
I'm just joking. But I like the song; it was good.
Yeah, it's a good song. Let's go to the one I have written least about, Daddy Walked in Darkness.
Darkness.
Which is an accent song.
Mm-hmm.
It's ring.
This is a country song. Also, I think, like I said, yeah. number 10, because this is.
I can agree with
this
that.
This is more like, but this is the more like low down country. Yeah. Like you're talking about your woes, country, not those like we were talking about earlier.
But it also has some blue tree.
I figured it out. If you put country and blues, it becomes clues. Clue.
But that's another word, cause so that doesn't work.
Okay, clantry. Clantry, everyone. We'll workshop this.
I've written three words for this song.
What was it? Daddy?
No.
Walked in darkness. Wait, that's four words.
No. Well, it's actually for this also, because it's an and. But yeah. It's bluesy, dark, and explosive.
I like this lyrics on the song. It's hard, but like especially like I know that his father and all that. I know it's just a song, but when he wrote it himself, and it's about all this stuff. It's very hard, like to get any feelings. But I like the emotion of the song. I like it's like you said, dark, darkness.
Yeah, darkness.
Darkness. But let's get.
Let's get out of the.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's get high and listen to The Cure as a reference.
Yeah.
We're gonna do some cocaine now. I mean the song, not anything else.
Yeah.
Legal team. We're only doing.
We're gonna
do metaphorical cocaine.
So this is also a traditional song, also known as cocaine blues.
Yeah. He craves cocaine.
So there's an artist known as Reverend Gary Davis.
Blind.
Or also known as Reverend Blind Gary Davis, apparently.
Mm.
And he said he heard his song the first time at 1905.
From somebody. Yeah, okay.
So it was a long time ago this song was written.
A lot of these are very early 1900s.
But yeah, this is a funny and sad song at the same time.
I wrote that too. Kind of funny but sad at the same time when you hear it, especially when you hear it more than once.
Yeah.
Because at the first time you think it's maybe a little jokey, but when you hear it the second time, and especially you know about his cocaine and addiction problems to drugs.
I like the intro where he compares cocaine to
Bufferin.
Which is basically aspirin.
What does he say? Like, here we're gonna trade in a commodity
I think it's like here we have a commodity more popular than
the Bufferin, which is aspirin.
But there's a line in this song that I love that is the doctors say it kills horses and men. Yeah, they say it's weirdly written. It's Killy Ya.
Yeah, Killy Ya.
Killy Ya.
Yeah,
but they don't say when.
Yeah.
And I love that.
It kills horses and men. Why does it kill horses?
Because you dope horses with cocaine. They run faster.
Is that why Secretariat won so many times?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you know they used to make glue out of horses?
Yeah,
and then children would eat that glue, and that means they would become high on cocaine, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're like, your brain is
like, I was ready to agree with you, and then I like thought for a second about it, and I was like, no.
Your face is like, yeah. Wait, no. It's like me saying, the earth is flat, right? And you're like, you know, it's like a normal statement. You're like, yeah, no, wait, no, it's not.
No, what did you say?
Let's go down in. I was gonna say let's go down in to the Louisiana by the Evergreens.
No,
Johnny, be good.
Yeah, but no, this is New Orleans, baby.
Yeah, but it's the same.
Yeah,
it's a no. Let's go to the House of the Rising Sun down in New Orleans.
This is also a traditional song, popularized by The Animals in 1964. So a year after this record was released.
But it's more classical than that because it was a minor song from 1905.
Yeah.
First published in lyrics in 1925, and the first like oldest legit recording. There's some around 20s, but the first one really is from 1933. Those were like on a label and like big. The other ones were maybe like less, you know, not label. They were label-less. Label-less water. I like this. It's a classic and favorite song. It's really classical. I think it was on Guitar Hero, maybe. Hero.
Yeah.
I used to play this song, and people used to hate me playing because you know when you're on a convention or something, and people wait their turn, like, oh, you just play a song, and then you. I always used to play either Freebird or House of the Rising Sun because they're like 14 minutes.
You should play Freebird.
Because I used to play Freebird too, and so everybody who stood in line always went away so I could play more songs. And one time when I got people to play with me, I said, oh, let's do Freebird, just to tired. And everybody got tired and quit around like maybe 6 minutes, and I went all alone.
Yeah,
like, yes, only the strong.
It's like 9 minutes, right? That's
I don't know what the version on the game was, but there's versions that are like 14 to 17 minutes. But I think like maybe on the game
live
around...
version this.
Yeah, maybe long. But the game version is probably around 9, 10. Yeah. But that was kind of fun. So I like this song a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted to talk about this because I don't like this song. I like the guitar the animal version.
Yeah, especially also, I told you about the animal version when I went down on a YouTube hole.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people reacting to old songs, especially these songs like the animals. And there was a lot of people reacting to it, and everybody's like, oh my god, his voice. And like, it was so nice just to see young people's reaction nowadays, like to that. And that's so crazy that a lot of them have missed it.
But would you say this song is better or worse than the animals version?
I like this song, this version, but I don't know if it depends on what you want. The animals are more like a funky pop version, and this
I would call it. I would say the animals version has more like a little more grandeur than this song.
Yeah,
this
bigger.
Is kind of like, it's just kind of slow and boring.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like that's more like the animals is more pompous or like bigger, and this is more chill. And I from hearing that version a lot, it's kind of nice.
Mm.
But yeah, otherwise, it's okay.
Mm.
It okay though.
It's okay though.
So yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm just stretching. That was that song, was it?
So what is your lasting impression?
My lasting impression is that Hoyt Axton makes music. I like
I learned today that Hoyt Axton makes music. No. He's not only an actor.
Yeah, an actor, a thespian, excuse me. Yeah. He's a thespian.
Okay, sorry.
And he does really cool music, and I would like to hear some of the albums that seem to be bigger, or like he wrote himself more. I want to hear his sound a little, because when I was around on YouTube, I heard a lot of his own songs, and they were good, what was it, Evangeline or something, and stuff like that. It was good, and I want to listen to his discography. This was a very chill album in the sense of it's a good wind down from what we did earlier.
I told you it was gonna be it's not an album that's gonna blow your mind or anything, but
it's a two of a kind of album, you know what I mean?
It's but better than that album, I would say, but
yeah, but this only is one of a kind.
Yeah.
All the jokes. No, but I do agree. I understand what you mean. This is better than because this has more better songs than Two of a Kind. Two of a Kind, like just a couple of good songs.
Yeah.
But yes, this is kind of the same realm. Very like just, you know, a B. No offense, like a B album. You just put this on when you're like.
I wouldn't call it a B album, but like it's like. I don't want to say basic either, but.
Yeah, basic.
But it's like.
But it's kind of basic because it's a lot of reworked songs in a sense.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying B album.
Yeah.
You know, basic.
Yeah. B. It's a B movie. It's a B.
No, let's not.
What if Hoyt Axton was in B movie?
Let's not get into that rabbit hole. Oh my god. No offense to John Goodman playing the lawyer, but can you imagine Hoyt Axton playing the freaking lawyer? That's especially his brother being a lawyer.
Oh,
he could get some tips from his freaking brother playing a southern Oh my god, that would have been... Sorry, Jungleman, you're the best, but that kind of would have... No, but I like it a lot. It was good.
Yeah.
I would listen to it again in the future, especially Thunder and Lightning. And we forgot about that, by the way. We normally say which song we would play sometimes. Yeah. We forgot about that, the last one.
Yeah.
I would play Me and Your Mama from Childish Gambino. I'll say that here now.
Yeah.
What would you play?
Probably Me or Your Mama or Redbone, but everybody heard Redbone. Yeah. So
that's in reference from the last episode. But this episode, I would probably play Thunder and Lightning or... What else is maybe good? Because that's the one that really stands out as Thunder and Lightning. It really grabs you, to be honest.
Thunder and Lightning, or like if you want to like...
Surprise somebody, right? Cocaine.
Yeah, or like if they never heard it, Grizzly Bear, I guess.
Yeah. If you want just to like let people listen, just to be also surprised, you could take was it Gypsy Woman with the Bo Diddley things?
Yeah.
Like and the peanut butter and everything, but I would probably say.
Also, like. The Woman at the Well. The Woman at the Well. I forgot to say that, but I really love the melody. For some reason, it's like when it goes up.
It's very like.
So.
But I would say Thunder and Lightning.
Kind of my favorite song for some reason on this album.
Yeah, I'll say Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about the next episode and what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, maybe around a little Valentine's Day, we're gonna have a secret little. Tease thingy, you know, because it's Valentine's Day. Yeah. We want to tease you a little.
Love is in there.
Yeah, love is in there. I feel it in my fingers. So, keep a check around Valentine's Day and that weekend and see what comes up. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, when it comes to the album I want to do, it's actually February now, and it's actually Black History Month now. And I, like I said earlier on Childish Gambino, I have a lot of links here, and I'm going to start reading them, especially I have a week off work.
Mm.
And I want to take a moment to appreciate a man that has impacted a lot of music and is really talked about. And it's Robert Johnson's King of the Delta Blues. I have the King of the Delta Blues Singers. This is the one I have, too.
Oh.
I have the vinyl. We're gonna double check that this is the right, because you know this is from 1937. There's a couple like different versions, but as far as I know, this should be the version I have.
Yeah,
King of the Delta Blues Singers.
That sounds like we're going even further back in time. This year.
And he's also dead. So, but he's been dead longer. So top that. No, but seriously. Because it's Black History Month, I wanted to learn more, like we talked about earlier, and just appreciate that, especially like he impacted so much music in such a short time, because he died very early on in his career, and there's a whole like story about him making deals with the devil and everything, and I want to get into this, and like, what is it that made him so special, because I've listened to it, and it's really cool, but also, like, we talked about this sometimes, like, when it comes to music, one person can just make one little difference in how they sing or like how they do with the guitar. We talked about this on Childish Gambino, that the Sly and the Family Stone, I think it was, how he slapped the bass. He just slapped with his hand in a different way.
Yeah.
And that changed the funk music just by slapping your hand in one motion other than normal.
Mm.
Something so easy can change music. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting that his way of playing the guitar, I'm not saying it's easy to play like that, but, you know, like, and it changed everything. It's kind of cool. So it's Robert Johnson, King of the Delta Blues Singers, it seems to be. I'll double check and put that out into the world. And that's going to be the next episode. And that was also, of course, around Valentine's Day. We got something special for you to check out.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's all.
Yeah.
Let's wind down with some social media. We're the record swappers everywhere.
Or the record swappers.
The record swappers everywhere.
And record swappers.
I will hit you in the face.
This well, is we have a kind of a...
No, don't even try me, bro.
I can block it.
Yeah. Don't even... I've been training. I've been Goku training. I'll come at you. I'll drop the weights and freaking come at you.
Yeah.
This is references for everybody who doesn't see, you know, with the cameras are all around us.
Yeah.
Our social media is the Record Swappers everywhere. Vikings is the Vinyl Gamer at Instagram.
Yeah.
And you should follow him and also like all the February vinyl challenge things. And I'm actually also doing the...
Already, I saw on my phone, I got a haha from Harma on my picture.
Nice. I'm going to upload mine soon. I'm going to sit and do that when there's some better lighting. And my Instagram is at bartholomew.bell. So thank you for listening, and we'll swap at you next time.